ABC Radio Adelaide with Ali Clark.
It is 22 minutes past 10 and we are changing tact completely. We've gone from the 1920s and 1930s to very much modern day. And a couple of days ago, a video game portraying the streets of Adelaide hit the news because it drew criticism from police saying that any representation in that video game of stations or officers could be breaking the law. Now, the game's developer said he hadn't meant to offend and he was working to modify the content. But that got me thinking about gaming and whether or not there is a vibrant community of it here in South Australia because... Well, as you all probably know by now, I am the person that still uses the street directory, so the whole idea of gaming is so foreign to me. So I'd like to say good morning to Matthew Trobbiani from Surprise Attack Games. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, I'm actually not with Surprise Attack Games.
Oh, you're
That's
not? Sorry.
That's my publisher.
Oh, sorry. That was just written up in front of me. You're from Team Fractal Alligator.
That's the one.
There, that's what, beautiful. So have you always been a gamer, always been interested in this?
Yeah, pretty much forever. It was actually really nice when my game became pretty successful and it was a bit of a, like, told you so to the parents.
Well, I want to talk about that. Okay, so just to paint the picture then of you growing up, you always wanted to play games. Am I imagining your parents saying, or is this just a ridiculous stereotype, you know, get out of the bedroom and come and, I don't know, kick the footy or something or other, but you were just really focused on the gaming side?
I did plenty of sports and stuff too, but I really like video games and I don't think there's anything like wrong with liking them. I like prefer them to TV, say. I've always been like super into that whole thing.
Okay. And the parents said, well, you'll never make any money out of it. There's no future in it. Is that where that
they
went?
They were really encouraging.
Well, that's good.
But I don't think they saw much value in me sitting around playing a whole bunch of video games.
Okay. So how did it lift from there? How did you go from sitting around and playing a whole bunch of video games, as you just said, to designing your own and then making a business out of it?
I've always kind of liked making things, and I'm like a programmer by trade, and I was doing a computer science degree. And then I just started making games for fun, and there was like a game development club, and it was all pretty casual for a long time. But it was something I just do as a hobby, because I like playing games a lot, and I knew how to like make things and program, so I'd get started making my own experiments. And for a really long time, I wasn't taking myself seriously with that at all. I was just, you know, making things as a hobby. But especially because of the club at university... after a couple of experiments, there's something called a game jam where you get a bunch of people together, you tell them a theme, and then you'll make something just from scratch in over like 48 hours.
Right, to that theme. Okay.
Yeah, so there's not a whole lot of sleep involved in that. But it's, and in 48 hours, you can't make an incredible game, but you can do a lot of really interesting experiments. It's all very like artistic and like fascinating, really. But
so for someone like me who would have no idea what it goes into making a game, what can you achieve in, say, 48 hours with no sleep? I mean, do you have... What do you have at the end of it? Does that make sense?
It changes wildly from, like, jam to jam, and depending on how effective you are.
Mm-hmm.
I've had probably one of my most productive ones was, like, an almost playable mobile game.
Okay.
And just some experiments that explore a couple of different ideas or, like, visual styles or something like that. You don't have too much, but some of them are really impressive.
Yeah. So when you want to start a game and you have this idea or you want to develop a new one, where do you start?
I'll start prototyping like the mechanical ways that you interact with the world first and foremost. But I'm actually kind of tending away from that now.
Okay.
Like with my latest games, I've tried to make something that captures a feeling or like a sensation and then goes after that by just capitalizing on immersion a lot. So you want to make players feel a certain way and then you build mechanics around it that support that idea.
Right. So is that the key to a good game, making people feel and connect, or is it having something addictive and competitive in there so they always have to keep trying to beat or better?
There are like thousands of different philosophies to this sort of thing. And I'd feel pretty smug being like, this is how you make a good video game.
Fair enough.
I got quite lucky like once or twice, but I think... it's about being really true to a central idea. Like, don't be shy to be like, this game's about making you feel like this or do this, and this game's about this interesting mechanical thing. I think picking a direction like that and being very, like, true to it the whole way through is a pretty good way to go.
So you come up with a game that's a hit.
Mm.
What's the name of that game?
Oh. It's called Hacknet. It's like a computer hacking simulator.
Okay. If anyone has used that or knows about it or knows someone that has, feel free to give me a call, 1-300-222-891. So it wins awards. It gets sold a lot of times, over 400,000 copies.
I think we're approaching 400,000
now. Yeah, around about there.
Yeah.
You're making money out of this?
Yeah.
Six figures?
Yeah.
Seven figures?
No. Well, wait. Yes.
Okay, the fact you pause is enough for me. All right. So when you turn around to your mum and dad and you say, here I am, this young man, you know, and I have just maybe made near seven figures for something that I've loved and done, they must have been over the moon.
Yeah. I've been really lucky with them being so, like, supportive and excited of it. When I released it, honestly, I didn't think it was going to sell at all. It's like a really niche thing that I've done, and I was sort of doing it on my own, which is like really not a great idea in video games. Like, no one has single person teams anymore for
Why not?
Because there's just too much to do. Okay. And like, as time goes on, like the standards for what's like
what you need minimum, to do to compete.
They go up and up.
Yep.
So going at it on your own is not a great idea, but this was really just my thing that I was working on for years and years, like while I was working jobs and stuff, to pay for it, just because I love doing it. And I didn't really expect it to sell at all. And it did a lot better than I expected, and I'm really lucky for that.
But well, yeah, it sold nearly 400,000 copies. Come on, the first moment that you worked out that you'd hit, I don't know. Like, when did you know that you had a hit?
Oh, it was really strange, especially on release day. I was talking to my publisher about it, because I had no idea how many copies video games sell. Like, what's a reasonable number?
So you've made this going, if I get two, I'm happy or whatever. But yeah, right.
And they're like, oh, we've got like, they're all very excited. Be like, oh, there's like 3,000 people playing it. And I'm like, cool. Mm-hmm. How much of that is our like lifetime sales? Like, how much do you sell in the first day compared to the rest of the whole thing? Mm-hmm. And I had absolutely no idea what that was. And I was like, this is pretty neat. Like, I've got all these people playing my game. That's exciting. And their response was like, oh, yeah, I've never seen anything like this day one before.
Wow.
Which was really cool. So it kept going up from there, and it's been good.
So what's the community like here in South Australia? Is there a strong gaming community?
Yeah. We actually have one of my favorite conventions in the world. And at this point, I've been to a lot. like AvCon here is really great.
AvCon?
AvCon, yeah. Yep, it's an anime and video game convention here. And that's the people that run that and the people that go to that are all really passionate. It's really exciting. And there's a great place there for local games that have been made. Or like it's becoming more national now because more people are going to it. But that's really exciting and really a really great place to, you know, show off what you've been working on and get a lot of feedback. I did a lot of refinement on my own games from the responses from people at those. In terms of the development community, there's a couple of like reasonably sized groups that meet up every month at a bar, and I'll just talk about what everyone's doing.
We're all good ideas germinate in a bar. Yes,
it's pretty good. there's a lot of really great talent here.
Okay, what do you? Whenever people talk about video games, I find people bring their stereotypes and their ideas of what video gaming is. People often would say, "Oh, video gaming, you know, it's the root of all evil." How do you respond to that? You know,
I
like
think
violence and everything else in it.
Yeah, I think that's just a property of people not understanding it as a medium. And that comes back to what you were originally saying about this new game that's come out about Adelaide. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to see something like that and be really scared of it. Like, imagine if you showed someone that's never seen a movie, like an action movie about blowing up a city and it's the city they live in. They'll be like, oh, this is terrible. And I think a lot of these like fears and prejudices are really scared of it because they don't understand the medium of games. And it's the biggest medium in the world now. And like, it's the most profitable medium in the world. And, it's pretty legitimate as like a medium that produces good artistic works and interesting things. And I think a lot of people don't understand that at all. And so when they're scared of it, like, I'm making a computer hacking simulator, and that's scary in its own right. And I get a lot of weird questions about that. Yeah. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I've been really careful with my decisions to make it better.
It's something that's responsible for you.
Well, not just for me, but like the things that I'll teach in it, the things that could be dangerous to use are all like fake and abstracted away. But the things that are useful to understand in
how
order
to
protect yourself.
Yep.
Yeah, so
okay.
In order to be more secure and to understand how the people breaking into your stuff are thinking, that's all as real as I could possibly make it. Yeah, and I think the idea is you want to, like, I can be designing this thing and people can look at it at face value and be like, oh, this is terrible. Why would you make, you're teaching all our children to be
how
hackers.
How to hack people.
After playing it and after I think this game existing, if I've done my job right, it'll make the world like a safer place, if anything.
Yeah, I'm still back at Pong days. So, look, thank you, Matthew Trobiani. Very nice to know that there are people, young South Australians like you, really having success with Team Fractal Alligator. Hi to your parents, no doubt. Hi to the rest of the gaming community. And thanks so much for giving me your time and coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
His gamer was Hacknet. And, yes, it sold or coming up to 400,000 copies.